All right, so if you're just joining the show, you can call in and scream at me and tell me I'm a negative Nancy and I'm just a meanie butt. The blue meanie, right? Those of us wrestling fans remember the blue meanie. I think we have a picture of the blue meanie in the control room, don't we, Matt? Yeah, Matt's going to get it right now. That is the blue meanie, correct? I promise you I didn't do that for that purpose to make you go up and get the sun, but... Nevertheless, I guess I'm, you know, listen, if you want to call me a negative Nancy, if you want to call me an industry plant, like some people like to call me, if you want to call me the blue meanie, whatever you want to call me. Like, I want the Commanders to win. I want to pick the Commanders. I picked the Commanders to cover and lose on Monday night. I was wrong and I was right. I hope I'm wrong. Very wrong here. I hope they win. I hope. I don't believe they will win. Austin Eckler is a massive loss. The other parts are this. I always believe in a team, especially playing at home, that's got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Kyler Murray wants to shove it up Cliff Kingsbury's you-know-what. Even though they're not going against each other, he wants to prove that he wasn't immature, that he wasn't baby Kyler. He wants to prove that he is back and that he was loved and supported and is loved and supported by the Cardinals regime that is in place now and has been for the last year plus. And there's no doubt that there's a different feel. Now, that doesn't always equate to success. Again, they only had the ball for 23 minutes last week. They were terrible on third down. This Arizona Cardinal team is not a great team by any stretch. You don't have to be great to win games. You have to play right at the right time. You have to make a couple of plays. The Commanders, as good as they were on offense last week, and they were really good. If they don't make a couple of plays on defense, which nobody will give them credit for, forcing a missed field goal and two field goals in the first half, and just barely, I mean, they did, so I can't give them credit for it, but just barely giving up a fourth and goal by inches. If they don't have those three drive stops, or two of which leads to field goals, and one was a field goal miss. If they don't have that, they don't win. Period. All you got to do is make a couple of plays. I don't think Arizona is necessarily better than Washington. And I would probably say if Austin Eckler was healthy and here, I might just pick the Washington Commanders. So I don't want it to come down to one person. But that's a huge loss for obvious reasons. Special teams and offense, run and pass. And again, kickoff return, which has been a big part for them the last 2 weeks. If John Allen and Daron Payne were actually, I don't know, like really good, maybe I'd pick the Washington Commanders. If the Commanders could tackle consistently and didn't get moved out of gaps, run themselves out of gaps, miss tackles, take bad angles consistently, I'd probably pick them, but they don't. This is the third road game in 4 weeks for the Commanders. A very short week. Monday night they played. They finished up, what, about 11:20 or so? And flew immediately overnight to Arizona. And yes, that is going to maybe theoretically save some jet lag and wear and tear and all that stuff. And I'm sure they've done a really good job with the setup there at Arizona State and so on and so forth. It is still a really, really tough ask. A really tough ask to go away, win both games on a short week with 5.5 days in between. Right? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's five. And then part of Sunday. 5 1/4 days, whatever it is. It's a really tough ask. I mean, it would be a tough ask if you are on normal rest. It's a really tough ask. The Commanders can win this game if they can run the ball better on first down, if they can run the ball better in the middle of the Cardinals' defense, things that they weren't necessarily able to do throughout the game last Monday night. Cliff Kingsbury ran six straight times to open the game on first downs, then went away from it, one pass attempt. I think that was, broke it down on Twitter earlier this week, to McCaffrey. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the deep bomb to Terry, the deep bomb incomplete overthrow, and then came right back to the run, and that was the Eckler 24-yard touchdown run. Like, the Commanders have been very run-heavy on first down. I think they need to mix up some of those tendencies. As a matter of fact, I'll give you this. And again, some of this is just happenstance. Some of this is called. Some of this is not called, but with the option to run, scramble. Jaden Daniels obviously under pressure if he doesn't see anything, or an RPO, what have you. The Commanders have run on 51 of 83 first down plays. That's 51-32. And again, that's not all calls, so just relax. But that's what we call tendency, right? I mean, 51 out of 83, it's more than two-thirds, right? Yeah. Like, to me, I would like to see them throw the ball around the yard a little bit more on first down. I know that's not what I normally say, but I would like them to be a little bit more open to attacking downfield on first down. Change of possession, out of a timeout, out of a TV timeout, out of the half, to start the game. You know, everybody thinks you're going to try and establish the run to Brian Robinson, especially with no Austin Eckler. Everybody thinks you're going to try and slow the game down. Do something different. Do something that they're not expecting. For crying out loud, run the flea flicker on the first play of the game. I would not be opposed to that. This way it is a run, or it looks like a run. It's set up as a run. Maybe you run 12 person, and then you throw a heave. And even if it doesn't work, you put it in the back of their head. Hey, man, we are tendency breakers. We are here to play. We are here to undress you. Just a loud mouth on the radio who's desperately hoping that he's wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Monday when we return at 1 o'clock, I hope Sunday night, I hope Monday morning, I hope we're basking in the glow of a 3-1 start and going once again, wow, Jaden Daniels, holy mother of mercy. Or maybe we're talking about the defense and all of a sudden Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne decided to wake up and play. Or maybe Emmanuel Forbes comes back with a key pick six or a key interception or whatever. Remember, their defense was way better than they're being given credit for on Monday night in Cincinnati. And don't let anybody tell you, don't let any stupid DVOA nonsense bullcrap tell you otherwise. Their defense was way better. It was not good. It was way better than they're being given credit for. They helped them win that game. I hope I'm wrong. All right, let's get out to Lou here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Lou, how are you?
What's up, Chris?
What's shaking, Lou?
I kind of disagree that you picking the other team to win.
That's okay.
But it's okay.
That's all right. Yeah. I understand that I am going to be walking that plank probably by myself.
You always starting something, but it's okay. I get it. I know you want to see them. You know, you want to see them win.
Do you agree with my? Do you agree with my very reasonable points of view, though?
Deep down, you know they're going to win. It's just you just picking Arizona just to kind of throw us off. That's all it is.
No. I didn't ask you to tell me that. Yes, I hope I'm wrong. I've said that. I'm saying, do you understand why I'm picking Arizona to win?
I think you got a parlay. You got some money on Arizona.
No! Lou, I just gave you a huge dissertation over the last 20 minutes on why Arizona's going to win.
Stopping, you know, Kyle and, you know, all that nonsense.
Lou, you weren't listening. That's the problem.
Well, yeah.
You were listening to what Lou wanted to listen to.
No, I was going to tell you they need to make a trade for Khalil Mack because I just seen his stats, man. That's what I wanted to say. They need to get a pressure from that DN, and if they get a pressure from that like DN, and I think they'd be fine to me. I think not having Montez is like I said yesterday and whatever day before. I mean, you're just not getting the production. I mean, both of the players that we have, they're not demanding a double team, and you could see that on. And it's easy to a team to just to focus on 93 and 94, Payne and Allen. So you guys kind of beating up on these guys, but they getting a double team. So it's hard for when you're getting a double team trying to get a sack or trying to stop the run.
Yeah, I agree. So. But you know, teams should not be able to double team both of them and still win.
I mean, to your point,
could they use a guy like Khalil Mack? Yes. So could 31 other teams. What makes you think the Chargers are A, going to give up Khalil Mack, one, B, that the Commanders would pay whatever it costs to get Khalil Mack, draft picks, this, that, the other thing, how to fit in the salary cap, whatever.
Chris, because I'm looking at it like this.
And they haven't brought in street free agents either.
Yeah, they got, I think, Xavier Howard.
Yes.
I think he's yeah, so they could use...
They haven't brought any of these guys in. That's the point. Now, maybe that philosophy changes because you're 2-1, and if you win this week, you're 3-1. All of a sudden, maybe that philosophy changes, and you go for it a little bit. Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. I hope they you know, we get a victory on Sunday, And I think we're going to win on Sunday. You know, I think Jaden is going to show that the growth. He's not just, you know, thinking about what happened on Monday. He moved on, and I hope the entire team and did that and focus on Arizona, and that's the task. And if they, you know, go out there and execute like they did on Monday night, man, I think, you know, it's going to be exciting season for this organization.
And I hope so.
For us as the fans and you know, for the players as well, man.
I hope so. Create more takeaways. Yeah. Keep not taking. I mean, it's unrealistic to not punt for a third day in a row or a third game in a row. That's very unrealistic. It's already unrealistic. But create more takeaways, and you can level a lot of things out, and you can go a long way to helping yourself. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate you. Let's go to Cliff in D.C. Next up. What up, Cliff?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Cliff?
This team should win on Sunday against the Cardinals. And y'all talking about Khalil Mack. They're going to have to give up something. But if you go out and probably get Yannick Ngakoue, you might don't have to give up anything by him not being on no team.
Well, they've had both in past regimes and this current regime. And by the way, he's on the Ravens.
I thought he wasn't, though, because I ain't never seen him. I seen him last time play, but I ain't seen him recently.
Yeah,
but,
he's on the Ravens.
Isn't Rodriguez up?
Huh?
Isn't Chris Rodriguez active?
He's on the practice squad. So they could call him up, or they could call Michael Wiley up. I would prefer Michael Wiley over Chris Rodriguez, but, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I have a sneaking suspicion that Kaz Allen is going to be elevated on game day. I think they want a little jitterbug kind of, you know, weapon that a lot of teams don't have film on. That's what I think.
No, I think they're going to bring Mike Wiley up then, and I'll sit back and listen.
All right. I mean, you know, listen, you're probably right. That makes the most sense. And to me, Wiley should get the call up over Chris Rodriguez. But, you know, we don't know what these guys are doing behind the scenes, practice squad, all that. I'm just guessing. And Kaz Allen, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that I know anything. That's like a hunch. I mean, I don't even know if it's a hunch, if it's an educated hunch. It's more just like, you know, I'm trying to outthink those that have to think, right? I mean, if you look at the practice squad, you know, Kaz Allen is out there. Chris Rodriguez is out there. You know, maybe it, where am I? Chris Rodriguez, Kaz Allen, and who was the running back that I was just talking about? Michael Wiley. I mean, one of those three guys, I would assume, is going to get called up to replace Austin Eckler's spot. One of those three guys. I don't know who the other guy will be. I mean, last week it was, I think, Bobby Price. Maybe this week, or actually it was Andre Jones, I should say. You know, maybe it'll be Andre Jones again. I think Jamin Davis and Javonte Jean-Baptiste have to play bigger roles because they're more athletic. They've got more speed to chase down. But Johnny Newton, again, should play more at defensive end. Or maybe they play that five-man bear front that we were talking about yesterday. There are lots of different ways that you can do this and get some extra wheels and some extra hustle, some backside hustle. Again, Johnny Newton did that at least twice the other night, where he closed 10 to 12 yards of field space in a hurry. That's somebody that they need. And to me, they need that on the field more than 25 snaps. I have to double check how many snaps Johnny Newton played last week, but I know it was significantly more than he played in his first week, week two, against the Giants. They keep ramping him up. He was full go in practice so far Wednesday and Thursday. He certainly seems like he's running well. To me, I think that could be a huge part of what keeps them in this game and gives them a chance to win. 320 on the Team 980, a homecoming times two. We'll delve into that next on the Team 980, plus Forrest in Arizona. We'll get to him on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, it's almost here, baby. It's almost here. Get out of daddy's way. I'm coming for you, 66, 395, Beltway. It's the weekend, baby. Half an hour away. Oh, so good. I cannot wait to eat buffalo wings and watch the Virginia Tech Hokies tonight against the Miami Hurricanes and a little Rutgers Washington during commercials. I just cannot wait. I got nothing else to do. I'm sure somebody will ruin it. But I got nothing else to do that's on the schedule right now. So don't anybody call me. Please, leave me alone. Can't wait. All of our football coverage right here on the Team 980 is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Now, before we get to Forrest, did you know it's not only Cliff Kingsbury's return to Arizona, but it's also Zach Ertz's return to Arizona? That's right. Zach Ertz was a pretty productive member for Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals offense. Season high, 5 catches last week. We know one of the fourth downs. We know he had a fumble. We know he's a reliable target. 130 catches, 1,167 yards, 8 touchdowns in 28 games from 2021 through 2023 with Arizona, some injuries. He was traded midway through the year at the at or near the deadline in 2021. Here's one for you. If you're looking for a prop bet, Zach Ertz not only returning to Arizona, wants to show them, hey, you gave up on me, should have been more patient with me. Remember, he wound up in Detroit late last year, didn't play in the playoffs, what have you, was on their practice squad. He has 4 receiving touchdowns in 5 games against Arizona before, obviously, he went to Arizona. So 4 receiving touchdowns in 5 career games. So if you're looking for a prop bet, that might be a good, you know, and for common sense reasons, he's a favorite target of Jaden Daniels, right? this year, I mean, you know, especially with no Eckler, you think he's going to be even more. And maybe you can get Ben Sinnott involved. He was wide open on a couple of routes last Monday night. Maybe you can get John Bates. I've seen him open a bunch. Throw him the damn ball, please. I got a bet riding on that I'm going to lose badly. But this is also about Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals for 4 years. He and Kyler Murray did not see eye to eye by the time it was over. I mean, there was a lot of friction there. They don't really talk about it. I've been told some of it, don't know all of it. But Kyler Murray is very, 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 very immature. Very entitled, spoiled, did not work hard enough, played too many video games. I mean, basically, the anti-Jaden Daniels, or the opposite of Jaden Daniels. But it seems like Kyler Murray has grown up. He's been embraced. He's been supported. He's been loved, showered with affection by the new brass. He's healthy. Remember, he had torn his ACL at the end of Cliff Kingsbury's tenure there. Missed a good part of last year. Came back. Played pretty well down the stretch. Healthy, healthy, healthy. 252 yards total in week three. 207 pass, 45 rush, which was, by the way, a team pass, team high against the Lions last week. His 99th career touchdown pass, so he's looking for 100, a little bit of a milestone. He's got 45 or more rush yards in each of his first three games this year. And in his only start against Washington on September 20th, 2020, I remember that game very well, second game of Ron Rivera's tenure, he had 353 yards total, 286 pass, 67 rush, 3 touchdowns, 2 rush, 1 pass. And again, was a pain in the ass. He did not play week 1 of last year as he was recovering from the ACL. No Trey McBride. That'll help a little bit. Again, he's a weapon that they're very used to, you know, serving as a complimentary guy, if you will. So we will see how that affects them. As far as the whole Cliff Kingsbury thing, listen, Cliff, I don't know if he plays tough guy or not, but he doesn't seem, he seems very robotic is probably too strong, but he does not have the personality flair that a lot of people thought he had, and I know I thought he had. He is very serious about football. I think this does not matter at all to Cliff Kingsbury, like in his every thought, but you know he wants to win. You know he wants to win. And you know, while he doesn't want to make Kyler Murray look bad, probably, you know that he wants that satisfaction. And maybe he's helped Joe Witt a little bit. Who knows? All right, let's grab Forrest in Arizona here before we go to the trending alert. What's up, Forrest? How are you?
Chris, we are doing good. We are good. Doing very good. Getting ready for Sunday.
Attaboy. Are you going to tailgate out there, or do they tailgate in Arizona anymore?
Yes,
I can't remember.
We're still here. We'll be ready to be there Sunday morning.
Attaboy.
We'll be at the game, so we're all ready.
You know, I shouldn't ask that because, I mean, obviously, even in Tampa where it's, you know, really humid and all that and hot, you know, they certainly have plenty of tailgating out there. So in Arizona where it's hot and hotter,
yeah,
but drier, you can absolutely tailgate. So I shouldn't have asked that. But,
sure,
you know,
just dry morning. I mean, for the game, you got to remember, the game doesn't start at 4 p.m. for it. It starts at 1 p.m., so maybe 10
correct
a.m., you know, not
correct
too bad. You get the morning mist.
Correct.
So what? Anyways, Chris, I just remember our last conversation last Friday, this time around, we talked about Jaden Daniels, and I was like, Jaden Daniels, we didn't punt the ball against the Giants. We have this. And we showed some optimism. And Monday night, we saw the results.
Yes.
So now, Chris, my question to you is there hope for this this defense heading into the rest of the season? Because as far as I can remember, we've had seasons where the defense has been very good for the first half of the season. However, the second half of the season, we've been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we reverse that? Is there any reversal possibilities here? Can we do some administrative moves? Can we Can we work some magic?
Yeah, I think so, Forrest. I don't think they're as bad as everybody's painting them out to be. I know the numbers are really bad. I know they gave up 33 points. I got it. I understand they've given up a lot of yardage. But I was encouraged by what I saw. As I keep saying, and as I've said through some Monday night, three series in the first half, and there were a couple of first and goals included in this. They either forced a field goal attempt or field goals, two field goals, one field goal miss, and then they almost, again, it doesn't count, but they almost stopped a first and goal in the third quarter and gave up by an inch or two a fourth and goal little touchdown pass to the slot receiver. So the answer for me is hell yeah, they can get better because you can't get much worse, number one.
Now,
and I do, like, I have to believe that Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne are going to show up.
For sure.
You know, now at least one of them, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Now, my question would be, if this offense is truly the offense that we saw and we can continue 30 points a game, 25, 28, 35, 42 points a game consistently, do we put all the chips, do we go full throttle, shift to the basket, trade for someone, and like own the 2024 season as, okay, we might never get a repeat of how successful we're going to be? Or do we just kind of slowly build like the message?
It's a great question, and one that we somebody wanted Khalil Mack. Look, I don't think they're going there. They haven't brought in a significant street free agent. I think that's more likely, a significant street free agent more than a big trade. But I can't rule a trade out, certainly. But I would think that would be more closer to the deadline, which we still have several weeks as things sort out. But say you win this game, right, and you're 3-1. And then say you split your next two, home against Cleveland, road against Baltimore, and you're 4-2. As you approach the deadline, then you'd probably be, what, at that point, I guess, two games out of the deadline. You know, you start to look around and say, all right, at worst, we can be 4-4. If we make a trade and make a trade now, you know, with a week to go before the deadline or a couple of days to go before the deadline, maybe we can give that push to get over the top so that we can win 9 games this year. Or who knows, even 10 wins. Again, impossible to say that it can't happen because it just happened last year with the Houston Texans. So, yeah, I think a lot of it is going to depend on where they are record-wise, but it's not necessarily record-wise at the deadline. I think it's record-wise after, like, say, 6 weeks, and then they start to say, okay, well, maybe we have a chance here, you know? So we will see. Have fun at the game.
Sure.
Have fun at the game. Good luck. Enjoy. And I appreciate your call and for you listening. I got to run because I'm way up against it. Thank you, Forrest. In Arizona, where he's going to be at State Farm Stadium. So with the Commanders on Sunday, let's get a final trending alert. Yeah, indeed. 4:05 on Sunday afternoon, State Farm Stadium. The 2-1 Washington Commanders, 1-2 Arizona Cardinals. The matchup there, the Commanders winning the last time out, but that was without Kyler Murray, and that was week 1 at the stadium formerly known as FedEx Field, now Northwest Stadium in Landover last year. And of course, lots of things different since then. Already Austin Eckler, Cleveland Farrell have been ruled out. We'll see about Emmanuel Forbes, but he is expected to play. The team getting on the practice field shortly out in Tempe to wrap up the practice week. Meanwhile, tonight, college football takes center stage on a Friday night and here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app at 5:30 following Craig Hoffman. The Virginia Tech Hokies pregame show, 2-2 after a tough loss to Rutgers, which featured a spirited comeback, but ultimately falling short in Blacksburg last Saturday. The Hokes will try and do the hokey pokey down against number 7 and undefeated 4-0 Miami. Again, 5:30 the pregame, 7:30 the kick, all here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Washington at 3-1, visiting Rutgers at 3-0. They beat Virginia Tech last week at 8 o'clock, that game on Fox Television. Big slate on Saturday. Maryland at Indiana will have it for you starting at 11 right here on the Team 980. Georgia at Alabama tomorrow night at 7:30. And the Nats with their final weekend series of the, or their final series, I should say, of the year. They host Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies tonight, 6:45, 106.7 The Fan, and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending. But it is a feel-good football Friday as we wrap things up here. Final 15 minutes or so of the radio program. Still have dum-dum of the day. And it's got something to do with the Dallas Cowboys. We will see what that means coming up shortly. But first, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is time. It is time to clean up all the messes that we've created, or some of which that we haven't addressed just yet. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, we've spent a bunch of time talking about the Commanders and the Cardinals. We obviously opened up the show with the Thursday night rewind, Giants and Cowboys. The rest of the NFL slate should be an interesting one, including one that I thought would be a pretty good matchup, kind of, between two decent defenses, if not good defenses, and two mystifying offenses, Cleveland and the Vegas Raiders, out in Las Vegas. I'm sure there'll be a ton of Browns fans there. But what's interesting about this one, if you pick the Raiders, you might want to investigate a secondary option. Because Davante Adams, with a hamstring injury yesterday in practice, he's been ruled out by Antonio Pierce. And what's worse, Max Crosby, who had a high ankle sprain, suffered in week two, will also be out for the Las Vegas Raiders. So no Davante Adams, no Max Crosby. The Raiders are also without starting linebacker Devon Diablo, who played at Virginia Tech. Their starting right tackle, and also tight end Michael Mayer, not the producer for the Junkies. That's a personal reason. I have no idea what's going on with that. So, the Raiders are going to be really shorthanded. And that's after getting carved up by Andy Dalton last week. Yuck. I mean, you'd have, right? Even with as, I mean, Deshaun Watson wasn't terrible last week. He was sacked seven times. But even with that, even though it's in Vegas, got to go with the Brownies, right? Got to go with the Brownies. Matt, what did the coin flip tell you about that game? Do you know? You have that? I'm trying to think if I pick. I think I picked the Browns to win that game originally in our show picks. I think. I'm trying to.
No, you picked Vegas for
did
that.
I really?
I have the coin picked the Browns.
Oh, the coin is smart, Matt. You must have found a smart coin. You know who also picked the Raiders?
One Doc Walker.
I picked the Las Vegas Raiders to beat the Cleveland Browns, probably because, you know, I don't trust their offensive line. Cleveland is in shambles, too. I don't trust Deshaun Watson. I might have to revise that pick.
No revisions.
Oh, that's not fair. Wait, so if we don't turn in whatever picks we turn in before the Thursday night game?
Those are final.
Those are final. So if, like, you haven't turned in your picks by that point,
then you have no games on the slate, and wow, you'd be 0-16.
Wow, that's going to suck if somebody actually did that.
That'd be real bad if someone did that.
Wow. Boy.
That's decision by committee, by the way. That yeah. isn't my decision. That's committee decision.
Speaking of committees, we got a lot of committees on this show. Okay. On a serious note, Tropical Depression Helene, I guess it was upgraded, you know, to a Category 4 storm at some point yesterday, has caused Appalachian State to cancel its home game tomorrow against Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. I just drove through Liberty University the other day on my way back from Blacksburg. So the two teams, you know, because of the impact, obviously, up and down through through Georgia, North Carolina, what have you. The game will not be rescheduled, so says the school, but Liberty is looking to add another game to replace the game against App State. I wonder why they can't figure out a way to replay that game at a different point. I don't know. I don't know. But obviously, weather affecting a lot of stuff up and down the Eastern Seaboard and all of that. So just, you know, sending our best to everybody down in the Florida area, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, everywhere in between. And, you know, I don't know what effect it's going to have on us up here, but clearly you hope everybody is going to be all right. All right. I wanted to get to this. While the Nationals play out the string against the Philadelphia Phillies this weekend, and don't forget, Sunday's game is at 3:05, and you can support Best Buddies of Virginia and Washington, D.C. by buying a special ticket to the Nats-Phillies game Sunday afternoon. You can get all the information on my Facebook, and as well, I think I put it on my Instagram, maybe on Twitter, I can't remember, but I will pump it out another time or two, but you have to buy a special ticket in order for Best Buddies to get get some money from the ticket sales because the Nationals are doing a nice thing. So you have a couple of baseball things here, right? But what was interesting was late last night I was bumping around, and Bob Nightingale of USA Today, and he may still be an Odyssey Baseball Insider, I'm not sure. He was like parading around as if the Detroit Tigers and the Kansas City Royals had clinched playoff spots. He's like, you know, it's a foregone conclusion. I forget exactly how we said it. And man alive, did people go after old Bobby Nightingale. Oh, were they brutal. Now, he was wrong. They haven't clinched a spot. Both have magic numbers of one. Both have like, the way I understand it is both either have to win a game and Minnesota has to sweep their weekend series. Minnesota once had a lock on a playoff spot, and they have faltered, and they are 82-77. They have a 3.2% playoff chance, whereas Detroit has a 99.3% chance and a 97.5% chance for Kansas City, who's down in Atlanta. And we'll see about the weather and all that after the sweep over Washington. But boy, oh boy, man alive were people just hammering old Bobby Nightingale. People, I would just say this. Listen, I know mistakes are annoying. I get it. Can we please stop being a bunch of asswipes on Twitter? Can we please just allow people to make mistakes? Like, I get it. It's annoying. You don't have to scream at anybody. You don't have to be so obnoxious and so rude. And quite honestly, I know where you're getting it from. I won't say where you're getting it from, but I know where you're getting it from. And this is a problem, a major problem in our society, whether you want to admit it or not. This society of ours, sports-wise, Twitter-wise, social media-wise, driving-wise, the way we treat people-wise has gone to hell in a handbasket over the last 10-ish years. I know where you're getting it from. I know where you're getting it from. I can't say it on the radio, but I know where you're getting it from. Stop treating people like crap. The guy made a mistake. Kansas City and Detroit are going to clinch a playoff spot, barring the unexpected. Both, again, have magic numbers of one. And Minnesota would also have to sweep their opponent this weekend. So, that's a little AL Central talk. The Yankees clinching the division. By the way, their opponent is the Baltimore Orioles, who clinched a playoff spot the other night. In New York, Yankees clinched the AL East last night. So the baseball playoffs taking shape and taking form while the Nationals play out the string this weekend against the Philadelphia Phillies. And that is how we do it.
Clean up in aisle three.
All right, clean up on aisle three. We come back. Dum-dum of the day. And not only does our dum-dum of the day feature the Dallas Cowboys, but it also features the New Orleans Saints. You'll see what we mean next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, the Nats and the Phillies are going to try and play tonight at Nationals Park. Well, they're going to try. Rain is expected around 4:15 this afternoon here in D.C. and off and on throughout the evening. So that is not good. Chances of rain during the game, probably, according to the Weather Channel, 50% plus with highs in the mid-70s, and it will be humid as hell, like it was last night when it was a big, gigantic bowl of soup. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. See, what Maddie doesn't realize is I did that on purpose. I forgot on purpose to read the Pepco weather game day weather report so we can get to Dumb Dumb of the Day.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Speaking of storms, you know what FEMA does, right? And they're very busy with the hurricane and all that stuff, and they do overall a good job, even though nothing's perfect. Well, 2 weeks ago, apparently they sent out an email release declaring a major disaster for the state of Texas after the New Orleans Saints went to Dallas and kicked the ever-loving crap out of the Dallas Cowboys. The original release said FEMA announced that a federal disaster assistance program is available to the state of Texas to supplement recovery efforts in the areas affected by the New Orleans Saints on September 15, 2024. They since admitted a mistake. They inadvertently sent an email used for training purposes only. They apologized for any inconvenience and directed everybody towards their press office. So basically what they're saying is, somebody in their office screwed up. They were a little giddy over the Saints kicking the crap out of the Cowboys. They declared a fake state of emergency for the state of Texas, and the areas affected by the Dallas Cowboys are by the New Orleans Saints, and it was all a hoax. And for that,
congratulations, you're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
I mean, the Dallas Cowboys can be a disaster area sometimes. Sometimes. Not last night, I guess. All right, that's going to do it for us. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Am I ever going to see Craig again? I don't think so. I forgot what he looks like. Anthony Haney is here. He's trying to take pictures through the window. Thank you to Matty Ice. Great job out of him all weekend. You guys have a good weekend. I'll post everything on Twitter, all of our game thoughts and whatever. And make sure you check out all of our pregame coverage and postgame coverage on Saturday. Back with you at 1 on Monday. Have a great weekend. Adios.